Just joining us, welcome to it, 7:08 here on this Tuesday morning. J.R. Simmer and Hammer with you. Busy show still to come. Pierre McGuire will join us live from Vegas. Coming up in 1 hour from now, he was between the benches last night, bird's eye view, sending Simmer pictures of the warm-up last night.
Yeah.
No, I actually... like a beauty atmosphere. So Pierre will give his thoughts on the Vegas 4-1 win over Montreal.
Yeah, gave me a couple of great straight shots. I was going to say, hey, can you turn the camera? I don't think he takes a lot of pictures. And I finally said, hey, any opportunity for a picture while the anthem's going on? No, I'm working. So I was like, thank you very much, and we'll move on. But it was kind of cool. I just wanted to give people that, hey, we have them on every day, JR. It's neat per where he, first of all, that he's watching the game. But as he said, with a full crowd, that was just kind of cool to see. That was quite an atmosphere last night.
It was. So we'll talk to him coming up after 8, after 9. We're going to talk to Mike Kelly, who kind of specializes in hockey analytics, et cetera. We'll get his thoughts on the two matchups now that they're underway. Mike's he's just able to boil down analytics, I think, for some people is pretty boring. But Mike is able to explain things pretty, and he's got some really neat stuff that he puts out that I don't see from a lot of other people. So it makes it easy to digest.
And again, for me, JR, I'm not a big numbers guy, but you respect it. And what I like that he does is more on the tactical side from a team aspect of how the Islanders, he had a nice article, I believe, on Sunday or Monday, just talking about possessions. So I think that's a little easier for me than necessarily all the individual numbers that don't always seem to make a whole lot of sense. So always great to talk to him.
We'll have our grand prize call coming up. If you got at least one code word into us yesterday, stand by. We could be calling you at some point this morning during the show to announce that you have won, you're scored yourself your very own customized Sens jersey. It's our Sens jersey Monday contest. If you sent us at least one code word yesterday, we could be calling you. So stand by for that. And by the way, with things starting to open up a little bit, we're closing in on doing some home deliveries here pretty soon for previous winners. Includes you, Simmer, by the way. I give you Orleans, your old stomping grounds. We've had a couple of winners from Orleans. So
we're not all going together?
We could do that. We could do it. It depends. Yeah. We've got five or six deliveries to make.
Are you guys just dying to get into the Murano?
Yeah, the sunburn. Heck yeah.
Sundrift. Sunset Drift.
Shotgun.
That's the color.
Let's always remember a strong sponsor of the show and also Sir Leader. Lots of shout-outs yesterday.
Yeah, no, listen, no issues with the vehicle. It's the color that's interesting.
Oh, anyway. No, for sure. Yeah. But I'm more than happy you guys even. I'll pretend to be a Uber or a Lyft driver. You guys hunker down in the back seat and I'll just drive you around town.
Perfect. And you can take us home after?
Absolutely.
Me first, by the way.
I'll even do the Rod Langway. I'll empty out the little... thing in the middle there, and I'll put cold beer in there. Rod used to just fill his little console right up, have ice and everything right in there. So
for his passengers, nice.
Well, everything. I got in his vehicle the one day. He's driving the big Suburban, and all of a sudden he pulls up the console. I'm like, God, those beers appear to be floating in your console. He's like, oh, that's from yesterday. We gotta reload.
If you're gonna take us home, you gotta pick us up for work as well.
Yeah, because our vehicles will still be here, so hope you don't mind that.
I like to be here early.
Yeah. I don't mind. Like I said, I'll be more than happy, guys.
That's a bunch of crap. Right.
Our TSN $1,200,000 minutes coming up before 8 o'clock. Hammer?
Oh, yes, sir. It's got a few of your trickery questions, all right? It's got some trickery in it. I preface that by saying I've already heard the answers to these questions this morning.
Thank you.
So if you are paying attention.
Thank you.
And listening.
Yes.
You've got the answer. You've got the cheat sheets.
Yes.
It's right there.
Yes.
But if you haven't been, you're in a whole heap of trouble.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe just be really good. Maybe today will be the day. We'll give away that $1,000 as part of our TSN $1,200,000 minute. Your cue to text will come up sometime between now and 8 o'clock. Okay, so I got my second dose yesterday, by the way.
I
am Mr.
Awesome.
Moderna.
Awesome.
Okay, so I'm now T-minus 13 days away from just going crazy. Just going absolutely bonkers. But I got to get through today as well.
How you feeling?
A little bit of a low-grade fever. Arm kind of sore. Got to be not, doesn't hurt, just sore. General aches and pains, not too bad. It's kind of like a low flu is what I feel like, but I feel better than when I got my first shot.
Remember that
you were away that day. That was a tough show to get through. I was not on top of my game that day. I felt woozy.
That was early fading
most of the show. That was not a strong one. Feeling much better today. The pharmacist who set me up yesterday, she recommended first of all, go have a nap. couple of Tylenol before you have a nap. Did that before I went to bed. Did that this morning when I woke up, so I feel good there. And also said drink some Gatorade as well. So keep those electrolytes going. So I'm all fueled up and ready to go.
Nice.
I see you chucking some blue Gatorade today.
I went to the store yesterday. You know what? I'm not a big Gatorade guy. Yeah. Best of times. Yeah. I thought it was. Agreed. I might go yellow.
Yeah, I usually go yellow.
But I went blue. Yeah. I went blue, and it's okay anyway. Yeah. So.
Yeah, no, that's good. Now, a couple of things here. Do you get it on the opposite arm, or do you get? Does it matter?
I went opposite arm. I went right arm. I'm left-handed. I went right arm.
Okay. Yeah. I went right first. I'll go left the second time. And as far as that, just psychologically, do you feel a lot better? The fact that, you know, you're fully protected now?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like kind of a neat feel.
You kind of need society in general.
That's what I think.
You know, it's kind of like, it's great that you can kind of do your thing, but you kind of want to be in lockstep with everybody else. Now, fortunately, my wife got her second dose on Saturday.
Oh, awesome.
My oldest, who lives in Toronto, works in a hospital. She got hers, I think, a month ago. I still got two other kids that need their second. Yeah. Hammer, you're getting yours at the end of the month now?
I'm getting mine. My wife found some new appointments, so we're getting our second shot.
Got to keep looking, man.
Yeah,
like my wife is the vax hunter.
Because when somebody moves up, they're leaving a spot open.
That's right.
So that allows you to move up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're at the end of the month now. Going
you were in August initially, right? And now you're at the end of June.
August 2nd. Now we're June 29th.
Yeah.
And think of, and again, I don't know how much method there is to the madness guys on this, but think if you're Mark Gowdy and you're OSEG and you're looking to open up a season, you're kind of sitting there. And it's not like you're coordinating this, but think of how important this is. And I haven't seen the schedule, JR, and you'd mentioned maybe a couple of home games to start after August 5th.
The schedule's coming out today.
Okay, but whatever it is, so say they're playing late August. I mean, you're sitting there and just kind of hoping and praying. And for the people that get the double vaccination, I hope they're the first to decide, oh, I'm going to buy some tickets for a Red Blacks game. Like, you're just hoping that this moves along the rest of June into July, early August, that, hey, you get enough people within the capital that are football fans that you can have a decent crowd for some of these home games.
Mark Estid with the boys on the drive yesterday. If you missed it, he's the OSEG president and CEO, by the way. It's on our website at tsn1200.ca and said, look, you know, they got the approval from the Ontario Sport Ministry yesterday, Lisa McLeod, to kind of, and this is another topic of the leagues that that did get a preliminary go-ahead and those that didn't. We can get into that as well. But he talked about the fact, because, you know, they asked him, you know, what about fans in the stands? And he goes, you know what? We're not in a position right now where we're going to complain about anything. The fact that we're playing and the fact that we should have some fans in the stands, and there may be more in other places, there may be more allowed in Saskatchewan, or Alberta or whatever than in Ontario. But maybe eventually they'll open up things further in Ontario. But I think he was just happy to say that we're going to have our doors open and at least to be some fans at the games coming up starting in August.
Well, from a coaching staff and for players to hop back in, JR, have an opportunity to play, and for how many employees over there. And again, I don't know it'll be max right away, but that's got to be a welcoming feeling. I know that's difficult for everybody in any business. We're, in this case too, not in anybody's control to have to let some people go. Hopefully a lot of those people come back in and get back to what was a smooth and very well-run operation by OSEG back before COVID.
Yeah. So the training camps will begin in July and the season will begin August the 5th. In all likelihood, the Red Blacks are going to start probably play the first couple of weeks, if not a third week, or maybe there's a bye week in there on the road. So their first home game, and it wouldn't surprise me if Toronto and Hamilton are the same, will probably be pushed back. Because the longer they can do that, the further the chances that they might be able to get some more fans into games. So our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question for you today is a pretty simple one. It is this. Actually, it didn't update on my board. So what do we got, Hammer?
Given COVID, do you have any hesitation attending a Red Blacks game?
All right.
That is the poll question for this morning.
Simmer?
Oh, yeah. No, I don't. And again, I'll be, I think, sometime in June, end up getting a second one. I'm more in the phase that I don't look at it that way. I'd just be happy to. Now, probably going on a darn press pass, but I'd just be happy to get out and support it and enjoy it and kind of get along with all my fellow Ottawa people. So no issue whatsoever.
Hammer?
Yep. Not me either. I imagine I have to attend regardless because I'll be taking care of the duties there. But if I take it from the point of view of taking my family, I don't know if I would be doing that. I think, my wife and I wouldn't have a hesitation there. But I don't know if I'd be bringing my family. Is that fence sitting? Is that... No. Isn't that complicated things?
So what you're saying is because your wife will be double vaxxed,
yeah,
like anybody that's double vaxxed in your family, you'd be okay.
I'd be okay with.
And of course, kids, unfortunately, will be the last ones to get a double vax and might be as late as later in the summer, later in August, by the time they get to everybody. So understandable. And you wouldn't be the only one that feels that way. So very early in the voting. We've got 70-30 no. No hesitation. So let us know what you think. TSN1200.ca. Any hesitation given COVID to attending a Red Blacks game coming up whenever they start their season? Likely to be at the end of August. Matt Nichols, by the way, the Red Blacks' new quarterback. If you're having trouble keeping up with who's where, Matt Nichols is the quarterback of the team now. Things have changed substantially since the last time the Red Blacks took to the field. But Matt Nichols was on with the boys as well on the drive yesterday. And, of course, all the predictions when the free agents were signed back in February and March were that the Red Blacks, who the last time they played only won three games, is that they are going to be a bottom feeder again this year. Oh, okay. And Matt Nichols says, not so fast.
I worry about what we're doing. That's the approach we've always taken. Approach I've always taken, I think when you start looking at those things or worrying about those things, all it can do is be detrimental to you. And for us, we know we have a good roster, great coaching staff, veteran players. We know we're going to be able to compete with anyone, and everyone looks great on paper, but that's why you play the games, and we look forward to going out and proving ourselves.
There's new Red Blacks quarterback Matt Nichols. You can hear the interview in its entirety again on our website at TSN1200.ca. Matt is very familiar with Paul Lapolice. They work together in Winnipeg. So just in terms of quarterback head coach being on the same page, that will not be an issue. Yeah. And as we know, that is a huge part of, especially in the Canadian Football League, of potential success for a team.
Yeah, and might have been Coach Lapo's choice to start before COVID, but I think Mr. Nichols was injured, was he not, Jer? And when this change in the window opened and the renegotiation, he hops in, and God, it seems like a fog that we had Mr. Arbuckle on way
good
back.
Memory. I was just going to ask, who remembers the name of the quarterback that never ended up playing for the Red Blacks?
Well, no, it took me a little while. I didn't even look it up, but it did take a little while to jog the memory, and we had him on just as they were moving to the Glebe and having a baby, which would have been, I guess, March of last year. So yeah, lots of switches. Grab your program and familiarize yourself with the league itself and the Red Blacks. And I guess the insiders know better, JR. I don't know how the hell in that league you forecast from year to year as to who's going to be good or not. It feels like the darn rosters completely change for almost every team coming into a new year. And after being off for a year and a half, there'll be some training camp surprises of people that have not taken care of themselves if we've seen in normal society that may show up into training camp and be like, oh, kind of looks a little different here after 18 months of COVID.
Yes, adding some girth.
Exactly.
Right?
The 15 or the 45-pound.
Freshman 14.
Or the COVID. 15. They're calling it the COVID 15 now.
COVID 45. Good. Okay.
Like all the right. Cold 45 beer.
All right, 7:21. Tell you what, let's take a break and we'll come back. We'll get into the hockey stuff. Talk about last night's Vegas win over Montreal, but also a couple of interesting stories regarding coaching. One with Gerard Gallant reportedly being hired by the Rangers. The other, this story that surfaced last night, and again, nothing confirmed by the Sens, about Jack Capuano potentially being asked, the Sens being asked for permission by the Buffalo Sabres to interview him and what their response was. So we'll get into Simmer's background in management and see if what the Sens did or reportedly are doing is kosher. So we'll talk about all of that when we come back here on this Tuesday morning. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. Tuesday morning, J.R. Simmer and Hammer with you. Montreal, Vegas played game one last night. Habs got off to a good start, carried the play, but Shea Theodore scored for Vegas to give them a 1-0 lead after one. Let's take it to early on, period two.
The Golden Knights 0-for-2 on the power play. Carlson runs one down in the left corner of the Montreal zone center. Comes to Theodore, he sends it across, and it's blasted home by Martinez. Great play by Theodore, who was in the middle of the ice, faked the shot, and put it on a tee for Martinez. It's 2-0.
Yeah, Shea Theodore said that he was ready to fire to Carey Price, and then he hears Alec Martinez going, over here, I'm wide open. And it was a great, I guess, no-look pass. Yeah. Price is way out of the net, and Alec Martinez puts it in for the 2-0 goal.
Anybody gets an opportunity, Jared, to watch and kind of watch, and this is what Toronto tried to do, get everything kind of going lateral. How Theodore is able to fake that, that looks like a check swing hammer in baseball, where first of all, it looks like you almost break your arms. He folds up like a tent and is still able to get that pass over, and hey, faked out everybody, including Carey Price, and had no chance. Ends up just being one hell of a play, JR, but I have no idea how he still stayed on his feet and didn't do a faceplant.
Yeah, absolutely. 4-1 would be the final. Three of the four Vegas goals were actually scored by defensemen last night, which was kind of weird. I mean, they've Shea Theodore and Alex Pietrangelo are good offensive defensemen, but you don't automatically think of that as a couple of our defense that's necessarily going to lead the way. But five of the six defensemen had a point in the game last night. The only guy that didn't was Pietrangelo.
Well, I want to think of Mr. Martinez. I think of open nets and scoring big goals. So there you go.
Stanley Cup winners. All right. Habs trail now 1-1. None. Here's Pete DeBoer, the Vegas coach, on the importance of Vegas getting the first goal.
We talked in our pre-scout meetings about, that they would obviously be more uncomfortable in their structure and their game playing from behind. And no one had really made them play from behind for a while. So, the first goal was huge. And at the right time too, in the first period for us, with how we were playing, gave us a little bit of an opportunity to take a deep breath and kind of gather ourselves and find our game.
There you go. The importance of a lead for Vegas, as we know, Montreal during their 7-game win streak had not trailed at any point in any of those 7 games. Second longest streak in playoff history. And last night, Vegas turned the tables. Yeah. Montreal wasn't able to overcome it.
Yeah, and Montreal, I'd say a passive team. Maybe not to the extent of Sweden in soccer yesterday against Spain, but they like to sit into the neutral zone, JR. So good thing if you're a Montreal fan is that now with Caulfield out there, you look at the power play, and of course they scored the goal and made it 2-1. Then Vegas comes right back. But at least you have that. But at the end of the day, hey, 5-on-5, they're going to need some Toffoli action. Going to need Josh Anderson, Kotkaniemi. Going to need some people to end up scoring 5-on-5. Otherwise, expecting your power play to bring you to the next series or the final, sorry, ain't going to happen.
Yeah, all-time teams that win game one of and this is in essence a conference final, semifinal, go on to win 68% of the time. So, two-thirds, it's not necessarily. And I thought Montreal played well last night. Vegas was just a little bit better. Didn't get that first goal, which was important. But I think if you're a Montreal fan, no reason to panic over the game one. But they're behind the eight ball for the first time in a while.
No, they are. And, you kind of go back to the Toronto series and you're like, wow, well, how did you feel in that one? You were down 3-1. The sky was falling. You come back, win it. You sweep Winnipeg. And I think they're hoping for Wednesday should Mr. Petrie come in, not saving the day. But I think you walk away from that. You regroup today, watch some tape and say, okay, you know what? We can go against these guys. And I think we'll see a little more confident, a little more settled team for Montreal. And again, they started fine and ended fine, just that second period where Vegas dominated.
Okay, so nothing official from the Rangers, but Larry Brooks of the New York Post is reporting that they are going to hire Gerard Gallant as their new head coach to replace David Quinn, who was fired at the end of the season. Gerard Gallant, of course, coached in Vegas, coached in Columbus, coached in Florida, and recently led Canada to the World Hockey Championship behind the bench as well. A well-regarded hockey coach. Do you think he's the right fit for where the Rangers are at right now?
It would appear so. I mean, everybody raves about him. He's done a good job in Florida, did a good job in Vegas, great at the World Championship share. Players appear to love him, so they're a young up-and-coming team. I think if you're him, you look at this Gerard Gallant and say, wow, what a great opportunity. What I can't understand was the timing of Florida letting him go, or Vegas for that matter, but no. I think
the cab was there. That's why.
Well, that's true. That's true. That's true. Timing is everything.
Yeah.
But no, it seems like a nice fit for both sides. What I'm more interested in, Chris Drury certainly has a pedigree as a person and as a hockey player, has no management experience, JR. And when I go through what they were able to accomplish in the last regime and some of the moves and picks and in a positive way, first of all, I can't believe Jeff Gordon ever got fired, but I think Chris Drury, I'm very interested as an inexperienced executive, what he's able to do or what he wants to do with the roster here over the summer.
So that is another of the NHL coaching vacancies apparently filled, which would leave I went through it last night. I think there's 3 openings now. Seattle, of course, expansion Seattle. And we're still waiting for Rod Brind'Amour to sign this extension in Carolina. And it still hasn't happened. And until he does, thoughts of Ron Francis coming in in Seattle and signing him away still remain out there. There's Seattle, there's Arizona, and I read yesterday, I had not seen this anywhere else, that Andre Tourney actually interviewed for that job, the 67's head coach, and of course, who's got His finger in a lot of pots with Hockey Canada these days, but Andre Tourney got head coaching opportunity, or sorry, a head coaching interview with Arizona.
Well, as he should, and Bill Armstrong, and there were a couple of other names mentioned over the weekend, JR. I'm sure it'll be long and extensive. What does the contract look like? What is the compensation? But boy, oh boy, Andre Tourney, the respect he has now in the hockey world. Boy, if I'm Arizona for the program I have right now in a young group, I'd be all over a guy like that. So we'll see what happens, and I guess you could look
would
at
he
it.
Be all over them, though?
Well,
that
no.
seems like the type of job where if you're well thought of, and I know it's the opportunity, you know, of coaching in the National Hockey League, there's only 32 of those jobs, yada, yada, yada. I think you look at it and you go, man, I'm if I continue on the path I'm at right now and what I'm doing, I'm going to get opportunities.
I
don't know if this is the right one to take.
No, I agree. And to that, you know, you can quickly go to Arizona and look like a fool. Look at the hockey world from Mark Bergevin to Dominic Ducharme. And no, I agree. You've got a good spot here. And I know when he went to Halifax for a year, and I don't know the fella, Mr. Tournier, it was tough to be away from family. So whatever mode you're in, JR, you're right. Hey, don't just jump at it. You got a great year coming up here. So if you're Andre Tourney, to your point, you're sitting there knowing that you're going to coach the World Junior, you're going to go to the Olympics with Canada. Are you going to turn that down? Now, he could still go to the Olympics, I guess, but are you going to turn those things down to all of a sudden go and coach Arizona? I'd say probably not. Stay the path where you're at. And as you said, you're in a circle now with a lot of great people, and I think it's only going to get better and better for him.
So Seattle, Arizona still have coaching openings, and the other is the Buffalo Sabres. And this an interesting story came to light last night from Joey McDonald, who for a long time was an ESPN hockey writer, as now writes for a paper in Massachusetts, but a pretty plugged-in hockey
Worcester.
Guy. In Worcester, yeah, that's right. He just simply wrote on Twitter that the Buffalo Sabres would like to interview Jack Capuano for their head coaching position, but the Senators are not allowing him the opportunity. Again, that's from Joey McDonald. Jack Capuano is the associate coach of the Sens, so kind of second in command.
Yeah.
First coached in the NHL with the New York Islanders, so has head coaching experience. He was the head coach of Team USA at the World Hockey Championships in the last couple of weeks. In your experience in hockey management, traditionally we always think, if you have an opportunity to better yourself, in other words, ascend to a higher position, usually a team will let you go.
Yeah.
Not all the time, but for the most part. So what do you make of, and again, we don't have anything from the Senator side. Okay?
Yeah.
So this is just a report, but it's a pretty plugged in guy. What do you make of this story if it's true?
Well, exactly to your point, JR, because of the dynamic and how temperamental people can be right now, I'd like to hear the whole story. What I will say from my experience, now the calendar's a little different, but anything pre-draft, when you get a call and an assistant coach, I'd be thrilled, whether it be American Hockey League, not that I had to help, but Brian Trotsche, who I had in Portland back in the day, interviewed with Colorado, he left. Like, to me, when I hire people and at the NHL level, an assistant coach gets a chance, I'm just thrilled for him. I mean, his dream is, like a player, is to, hey, I'm in the NHL, I want to be a head coach. Would never hold anybody back. When I worked for David Poile, George McPhee, George a little stranger at times, but overall, and John Ferguson, you'd always just welcome it. Now, post-draft, as you've set your staff and you're already set up, that could be a little bit different, but this is strange, to be quite honest with you, on the surface. But I would like to gather the rest of the information. But generally, you're not going to have a very happy assistant coach if he has the opportunity. Now, Ottawa could look at this and say, well, first of all, we're not letting you. And second of all, I don't believe you have any chance to get the job. And I think they're just bringing in a bunch of people to get interviewed about organizations. So I'd like to hear the rest of the story. But generally, I would never hold an assistant coach back, because you're really having, and we saw this with the Red Blacks a few years ago, right, where the assistant coach didn't get the Edmonton job. Now, that was a bit, I understood their side because the timing was very strange. But before the draft happens in the National Hockey League, you don't see that very often, JR. You do generally welcome the opportunity for an assistant coach to better himself.
Typically, a contract that Jack Capuano would have signed with Ottawa, would it have in the language some sort of out? Would it need to be written down? Or conversely, could there be language in there from the Ottawa Senators that says, Hey, for the length of the contract we have you for, we don't have to give you permission to interview for a head coaching job.
You would never put in "we don't have to," but you could end up having language in there as an assistant coach saying, hey, if an opportunity comes, I get it. But if it's not in there, it's a general rule in the thought. But you would never put in the reverse language. Like when you're signing a guy to a contract and you say, well, here's language in, you can't interfere any other jobs. That's not really the way it would work. But you could certainly have written in, hey, should opportunity come, they need to call you and make sure it goes through you, but you would have the opportunity to interview for this. And for Jack Capuano, the way this works, first of all, Cappy is very well connected. That story coming out of Worcester, which is New England, kind of leads
me. Which is where he's from.
Well, exactly, a Rhode Island connection. But also when you're at the World Championships, JR, there's tons of scouts or managers, lots of hockey people. So there's a lot of swirls and a lot of conversations. That may have generated out of there. But like I said, I'd like to hear the rest of the story, but my personally, I would always allow that opportunity for someone to go and interview, because as I said, for Capuano at the end of the day, that's what you want, is that opportunity. I find that interesting as well, that Buffalo would look at him as a head coach instead of even my buddy Donnie Granato.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, and again, it's, as you said, it's just an interview. He's getting the job per se, and they may be interviewing 100 people.
Exactly.
For all we know.
And if you hear that, if you're Ottawa, where you hear, oh, they're just interviewing everybody and their brother, that may be term for pause where, hey, I don't want them to go and sit for a few hours and get information about a division rival. So
yeah, like I was going to say that if this was a team, and again, we'll revert back to the old divisions, the old Atlantic division, and Ottawa and Buffalo are in the same division. Would that perhaps, again, it's all conjecture.
Absolutely.
We don't know this story to be true, but would that in any way affect their decision?
For sure. I mean, if you're the Buffalo Sabres and it's been a gong show for 100 years, would you not look at the Ottawa Senators right now and their template, both in budget and approach, and say, boy, I wouldn't mind in a few years if we were finally in the spot that they're at? Oh, for sure it would be. So, and would Jack be well-versed on that? Well, you're an assistant coach. You're sitting in a lot of meetings. You're around it. So now this is also not some major secret or top secret what they've done, but that may be part of it as well, that, hey, you know what, within the division itself, we're not comfortable. And then also, hey, anything that goes on, certainly here in Ottawa, would have to have a check off from ownership. So I don't know how that would play. Mm-hmm. As I say, that we'd need to hear their side of the story.
Typically, and DJ Smith, when he was hired, signed a 3-year contract. So he's going into the third and final year of his contract. Would typically, in this case, Capuano is an associate coach. Would they typically sign a contract of the same length, or would they typically be shorter?
No, it would never. Well, first of all, it would never be longer. But almost always, when you come in the first time around, when you're all coming in as a group, I would assume that Capuano to Payne to Smith, everybody got 3-year deals. Now, where does it go from here? If DJ Smith did a good job and got 5 years, would the assistants automatically get that, JR? No, but on initial contracts coming in as a group, generally everybody would get the same as DJ Smith. But like I say, that doesn't mean it is. I mean, there's teams out there now that have assistant coaches working year to year. I mean, the industry's in a funny spot right now, but rule of thumb for when they sign, for sure he would have the same as DJ.
Do you think if this story is true, that the Ottawa Senators right now are looking at DJ Smith going into the final year? And I think we all acknowledge that, particularly in the last half of the year, he did a good job, right? Yeah. The young players all got better. The team got better. It would seem to be pointed in the right direction, but as of right now, he doesn't have a contract extension. You've got a guy standing right to your right running your defense who has NHL head coaching experience that you want to keep him on board. Because if you want an in-organization replacement, there's the guy standing right beside me, like he's next man up.
Yeah, no, my feel for it, JR, you'd be going into a year like this thinking, I want to have the best possible staff versus thinking that way. Personally, and we'll see what happens with Mr. Mann in Belleville, if I was to have a plan B or what's going to happen if this goes south, I'd be elevating Mann from Belleville in a heartbeat, but it never hurts to get experience. What my feeling would be is that there's a lot of pressure on the general manager going into this year, and I want to have the best possible staff. And if I feel like Mr. Capuano is an integral part of what's going on here in Ottawa, I want to make sure that he's here to stay. But as I said, that's a lot of speculation on our part. This is not, to me, normal in the industry, pre-draft.
A lot of people texting in and said, and I don't remember this, but more than a few people have texted in and said, Toronto didn't initially allow DJ Smith to interview here in Ottawa when Guy Boucher ended up with the job.
They didn't?
No, did not. Yeah,
oh, okay,
back
okay,
in
okay, okay.
Whatever year, 2016, I guess
okay,
that was, right?
Okay, okay, so. Okay. Well, yeah, as I said, every circumstance can be a little bit different on how you handle it. So, as I said, that's where, you know, you want to kind of find out. And as I said, the divisional part of it, the timing of it. And, so, like I said, we need to hear more of the story. But, hey, for Capuano,
I don't think we will.
Oh, God, no. Not a chance.
Right? The Ottawa Senators are likely not to react, going to react. And Jack Capuano is, you know, if this story is getting leaked out, presumably to get out there in public by someone, it will work itself through. But I don't know. I don't see things changing. I don't think they're going to change their mind because perception right now is like, oh man, you're doing bad by this guy, man. Yeah. You should allow him to interview. Oh, okay, we'll change our minds then. They've made up their mind, whether you like it or not.
For sure. And to speculate even further, when a story comes out of Worcester, Mass, I mean, is that coming from Kevin Adams and the Buffalo Sabres? Is it coming from somebody else that's working there? Is it coming from the Capuano camp? You have no idea as to how that's filtering out. To your point, though, even if Jack Capuano wanted the story out there, as you said, I don't think this is going to move the needle here in Ottawa, or anybody's really going to care at the end of the day. By tomorrow, we'll have forgotten about it.
Yeah. So, an interesting story. And again, we don't. It's just a sources say kind of story at this point. And but you know, the one part you brought up that I think is interesting in all this, if there are elements of it that have some truth to it, you would have a guy who presumably would like to move up that is being denied even an opportunity to interview for it. And I don't think, if I put myself in his shoes, I probably wouldn't be necessarily that happy.
No, not at all. And your experience.
I'm not saying you're going to mail it in this year.
No,
you'll be mad
and
kick and whatever. Yeah, but, you want to do right by people and you want people to be happy. And sometimes, there's probably a couple of Harlequin romances have been written about. Sometimes you got to let things you love, you got to let them go. You got to let the butterfly
fly. The hardest part of love is letting go, Jim.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, we'll keep our eye on that story going forward. And we'll talk to Pierre McGuire about all the hockey stuff when he joins us coming up after 8 o'clock this morning at 7:44. Still to come before 8, our TSN $1,200 minute. So stand by for your cue to text on that. We'll get into the rest of what's going on around the world of sports when we return as we roll on here. Vegas beats Montreal in game 1, 4-1. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
Well, I know there's a lot of Bruin fans out there. 10 years ago today, Bruins beat the Vancouver Canucks 4-0 in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final to win their first championship in 39 years, since 1972. Unfortunately, in Boston to be celebrating that, but unfortunately for the rest of us who are kind of, we'll call ourselves dispassionate third-party observers, what we remember about that series is the fact that the Vancouver fans rioted after the game. That is the biggest memory for most people. Not what happened on the ice, but what happened after Game 7.
And the most famous picture from that is a young couple kissing on the street chair.
Yes.
That ended up becoming a big deal. Backstory, and for my buddy Wayne Smith at the time, was the director of player personnel, was great for him, brought the cup to Ottawa, met him in Old Stony Monday, so he's excited for Smitty back in the day, and for Peter Chiarelli and any other Ottawa angles, it was, that was a big deal, and more importantly, to go into Vancouver and win it like that, pretty amazing.
I was actually thinking this morning that if Vegas goes on to win the Stanley Cup, I wonder if Mark Stone, who's of course got his place here still, and Brady Tkachuk and the boys are renting, and his fiancée? Wife? Girlfriend? Not quite sure. Whatever they are. They've been going for a long time.
Partner.
Partner is from Ottawa. Yeah, so I wonder if Mark Stone, I was thinking about, if I'm Mark Stone, who's from Winnipeg or the Winnipeg area, if I had the cup for the day, here's what I would do. And I had ties in two places. I would actually hire one of those corporate jets.
Okay.
I would spend, I get the cup for 24 hours.
What would
a jet from Winnipeg, jet to Winnipeg to Ottawa would be what, 2 hours max?
Yeah, 20 grand.
Something like that. No, I'm talking about hours.
Okay.
Two hours?
Yeah.
Okay. So I got 11 hours to spend in each place. So I'm 11 hours in Winnipeg or home base, parents, et cetera. Childhood friends. Then I'm jumping on the bird and I'm coming to Ottawa for the 11 hours. I think that's the way I'm doing it. I make $9.5 million US. I'm going to spend, it's, I think it's 10 grand an hour for one of those jets. I'm going to spend the 20 grand to get from one place to the other. That's how I'm doing it if I'm Mark Stone, which I'm not.
Yeah, it's funny, Jer. I don't really feel any tie that he has to Winnipeg or haven't seen a whole lot. It's almost like, hey, since he went to Brandon, to Bingo, to Ottawa, over to Vegas, I think he spent the whole day here in Ottawa. And I'll ask this. We've had the Cup come here to Ottawa, and as I said, Wayne Smith brought it, Sean O'Donnell, Kent Huskins.
Yes,
Belmont. Okay, a few other names. Is there been a prominent...
Dan Boyle.
Has there been a prominent former Ottawa Senator that's ever brought the Cup back to Ottawa?
A prominent former Ottawa Senator that brought the Cup back to Ottawa.
Yeah. Mm. Like, I think of, and I'm not going to quite go on Mark Stone, although not far off, when Ray Bourque brought the Cup back to Boston, it was a really a big deal. Like, it was like, oh my God, you're bringing it back to Boston, and you're a slap in the face, which a lot of fans actually enjoyed at the time in Boston. But that would be, I'm not going to say big news, and it's not, hey, the trade has been made. But yeah, that's an interesting dynamic that we have not faced here in Ottawa, where people are still getting over not only the fact that he left, but what's the trade honestly going to look like in the future from an Ottawa perspective. And I think that would still fire some people up, but I think there's a pretty good chance he comes back to Ottawa. And I'm going to say that we have not in the 20 plus years or 25 years of the Ottawa Senators ever had anybody of any real name. Like, who has, and I'll ask that for the listeners, because it's, I hate to put you guys on the spot. Like, who has played in Ottawa, left Ottawa, and actually won the Stanley Cup of any real note? Like, is there a player that comes to mind?
Well, probably the listeners are more on this than
exactly,
us.
Yeah.
It's not only just Mark Stone, but think about J.G. Paschal.
Well, for sure,
would be
for
another
sure.
One, right?
Oh, yeah.
So we've got two of the remaining four teams with the possibility of that happening.
Without a doubt, J.G. Pageau is having the party of all parties in Gatineau, Hull, wherever, right? I mean, and why wouldn't you? I don't care about the Ottawa Senators. I don't mean that disrespectfully. Just, wow, how proud would he be? So, yeah, I can't think. I'm trying to think of Ottawa's turned over the roster. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Claude Julien does not have an Ottawa Senators connection.
No,
you're
no, exactly.
Of that,
I want somebody that was here either.
Chris Kelly. Chris Kelly won the Cup with Boston,
brought
it to Ottawa.
Yeah, great point. No,
probably brought it to, he plays in the Barhaven Slow Pitch League that you play in, right,
that's
Hammer?
True.
I did not see a parade around the softball diamonds.
Did he wear ball pants when he was when he had the Cup at the Barhaven Mixed Softball
Nobody
League?
Nobody in their right mind wears ball pants playing softball.
Well, not even Chris Kelly?
Not
Do
even
you know
Chris
that?
Kelly.
Confirmed?
Absolutely.
Was it E5?
Was it never ball pants.
Was it ball pants brown?
That was a teammate of ours.
Because that's what kind of listener I was back in the day. I even remember that. Now, Chris Kelly, during his acceptance speech here in Ottawa for the Cup, never said a word. So it's a little more anonymous because Chris Kelly never
Someone
talks.
Said Marian Hossa.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember.
Oh, no, but there's a player that's left Ottawa that's won a Cup.
Yes, I don't remember Marian Hossa bringing the Cup back to Ottawa.
No, I don't think he had any ties. He ended up going back to Slovakia. But as far as a send to leave, JR, that's a great one. So that's right at the top. To me, that's kind of the equivalent. But I think he had cleaned out shop, and he had already gone to Ottawa, to Atlanta, to Pittsburgh, to Chicago at that point, all right? Did he stop in Detroit at that time, or what am I thinking?
He went Atlanta, Pittsburgh, Detroit, Chicago.
Chicago. So you've done a lot of moving, a lot of Mayflower actions, so he didn't come back. But as far as a player leaving a prominence to win a Stanley Cup, thanks for texting
Zdeno Chara is
Jeepers.
Another one.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Don't remember Zdeno Chara bringing it here.
No.
Don't think that he did.
No.
Did he live down on your street or in your neighborhood?
He lived next door to my sister.
So did he invite you? So he never invited you over to check out the Cup?
No.
He didn't come back?
Well,
no.
Here's one.
I'm still angry about it.
Here's on
I'm going to fight him.
Here's on Char, what I'm saying, guys, from a Stanley Cup standpoint. I can remember, first of all, he would have brought it back to Slovakia, but the other emotional dynamic for him, it would have been 2 years previous that Pavel Dimitra would have died, right? And they have an intertwine where I think the Dimitra family lives with him. Let's also remember the European leg of this. I'm sure that Hossa and Charin celebrating the Cup, that was always done in Slovakia, but both of those are great names, and I don't know how I forgot. We're just talking about them. God, I forgot Chara. So
Ben Eager, I remember bringing the Cup back. Now, he doesn't have an Ottawa Senator. Or tie, but he's from Ottawa.
No, for sure. Yeah.
He's another one. Dan Boyle was the one that I remember because Dan Boyle brought it right in here to the radio station.
Yeah, nice.
I had the Stanley Cup where I'm sitting right now was right on the table right next to me.
Nice.
There it was. My name should be on it, but it's not. Thanks, Dan Boyle.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
I think, Stoner come by the Kanata. He's a member at Kanata Golf and Country Club.
I don't know if he still is.
Yeah.
So a friend of mine found one of his golf balls once.
Oh, okay.
Pro V1 61. You know who that belongs
he
to.
He actually has customized balls.
Well, he's a number on it, yeah.
His golf
ball.
Well,
he wrote his number on it. It's not stamped or anything.
Steve Azerman somebody has put up there as well. Yeah. I don't know that. I think Steve, I think he stayed in Detroit.
Yeah.
I think, right?
I don't, I'm going to just go out on a limb here and say that if you win the cup in Detroit as a captain, and you decide to have your Stanley Cup party in Ottawa, not that they'd be a big deal, but I think they want you to have it in Detroit as long as possible, and especially those first couple. Was he the captain for the last one, or was Lidstrom the captain when under Babs?
Lidstrom.
Yeah.
Iserman was done at that point, right?
Yeah.
All right. Anyway. Kind of got sidetracked there, but there we go. We're two of the four teams have a good chance to win the cup. Have big Ottawa, big Sens connections, big Ottawa connections. It'd be fun to see the Stanley Cup back here in Ottawa, and we're back on the right timelines as well. That's the other part. Last year, when the Stanley Cup was won in early October, and so the keeper of the cup was floating around in October and November. Not quite the same as guys having it at the cottage or by the pool through the summer and whatever. Yeah. We'll see how it all plays itself out here over the next 3 weeks or so. We'll talk to Pierre McGuire about all the hockey stuff, including the Vegas win, coming up in about 10 minutes or so. We'll take a break right now at 7:56 and come back, and we will play our TSN 1200 $1,000 Minute. We'll try again to give away $1,000 in cash if you'd like to do it. A little sports trivia, a little sports knowledge. You'd like to play it, do it right now. Text us at 12-1200. Standard messaging rate supply. We'll take lucky texter. I think Marian Hossa wore 81 at one point. With Chicago, opposite of the 18 you wore here. So text your number 81 at 12-1200. We'll play our TSN 1200 $1,000 Minute coming up next on TSN 1200.
TSN 1200's $1,000 Minute.
Time to play. Let's welcome our contestant this morning, and that would be none other than Keith. How are you doing this morning, Keith?
Good. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. How do you do on the home version of our $1,000 Minute?
Sometimes better than others.
Sometimes better than others. Okay, well, hopefully this will be the best time of all, because this time you're doing it live with the ticking clock in your ear. Always makes it a little more nerve-wracking, but here's the way it goes. Keith, I got 10 questions. You've got 60 seconds. If you go 10 for 10, you're going to pocket $1,000 in cash. We'll give you $10 for every correct answer. Here are the very simple rules of the contest. I need all of your answers by the time the 60-second buzzer goes. I need to accept your first full, complete answer for any question. So if you change your mind in the middle, you can still do that. And as well, if you want to, you can pass on a question. If we have time, we'll circle back to it. Okay?
All right.
You all set?
Yep.
Okay. Keith, good luck, my friend. We're going to start in 3, 2, 1, go. Which Canadian team went the furthest in last year's playoffs, the Canucks or the Flames?
The Canucks.
In what country do they play Wimbledon?
England.
Name any team Gerard Gallant coached before Vegas.
Florida.
What school did Cole Caulfield attend, Michigan or Wisconsin?
Wisconsin.
The last season the Red Blacks played, did they win more or fewer than 8 games?
Fewer.
Corey Perry played in last year's Stanley Cup final with what team?
Pass.
What team did Kyrie Irving win the NBA title with?
Boston.
What did the fans in Vancouver do after the Canucks lost the 2011 Cup Final?
Riot.
True or false, this year's Grey Cup game will be played in Hamilton?
True.
Yes or no, did Marian Hossa win all his Stanley Cups with Chicago?
True.
Corey Perry played in last year's Cup Final with what team?
Dallas.
All right. I think we got 10 answers. Let's see how this went. This is exciting. Keith.
Yep.
You think you went 10 for 10?
I don't know. I guess we'll see.
We'll see. Here we go. Which Canadian team went furthest in last year's playoffs? The Canucks is the correct answer, not the Flames. In what country do they play Wimbledon? England is correct. Name any team Gerard Gallant coached before Vegas. Yes, Florida is correct. Also Columbus. What school did Cole Caulfield attend? It was a 50-50 chance. You got Wisconsin. Well done. Last season, the Red Blacks played. Did they win more or fewer than 8 games? Fewer is correct. They won 3. Corey Perry played last year's Cup Final with Dallas. What team did Kyrie Irving win the NBA title with? Cleveland. He played with LeBron James. That is correct.
I didn't know he played there, but
there you go.
We played Boston.
There you go. You did play in Boston. What team, what did the fans do in Vancouver after the Canucks lost? They rioted. You're right there. True or false? Great Cup game played in Hamilton. True. Yes or no? Marian Hossa won all his cups with Chicago. That is true. You got that one right. Except for Kyrie Irving, Keith.
$90.
That's the closest we've been in a while. One answer away from winning $1,000. Darn it. Keith, well done.
All right, thank you.
All right, congratulations. Enjoy the money and have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
All right. Enjoy the, enjoy it. Simmer, how'd you do?
You know what? I would have got them, JR. I had no idea on the Grey Cup, so I guess I would have went with. Did you just ask, is the Grey Cup going to be played in Hamilton?
I said true or false, the Grey Cup game this year will be played in Hamilton.
I guess I'd go with true, but I had no idea where it was going to be played.
It was originally going to be in Saskatchewan, and they swapped it, I think, with Hamilton.
Yeah, anyway. and the memory of Kyrie Irving. Well, first of all, the Celtics haven't won since the KG group, right? Mm-hmm. And he was the sidekick to LeBron, and then thought LeBron was being too tough on him as an older brother and asked out, right? And that's when he went to Boston.
Yep. All right. I couldn't have made the questions really much easier. There are a lot of 50-50s, even if you didn't know. So we came super close.
Well, in the Caulfield one, some of the games were on. I thought that was cool last night. Family was in town, right, for the Vegas game. And, boy, you watch him around the net. And I know the puck came right to him. But that's what those goal scorers do. First of all, they always seem to be in the right spot. And that puck comes off his stick, whether it's passing or shooting. Boy, he's just energy. And he's totally revamped their power play since he's come into the lineup.
All right, Vegas won the game, though, despite the Caulfield goal 4-1. We'll talk about it with Pierre Maguire, who did the game and joins us live from Vegas coming up in just a couple of minutes. Stand by. Latest news on the way. We'll run down the scoreboard, the NBA playoffs, Euro 2020, Blue Jays with another Guerrero home run, but unfortunately another bullpen meltdown as well. So lots coming up. And then a conversation with Pierre Maguire next on TSN 1200.